There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. It really doesn't matter what the people say. There's something mighty sweet. Sing it with me now. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. It really doesn't matter what the people say. There's something mighty sweet. And there's something mighty sweet about River City Baptist Church. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank you on behalf of Brian and Angie for giving her that award tonight. She does deserve that. May the Lord bless you. I greet you in the name above every name. Yeah. The sweet and precious and holy name of the Lord Jesus. The name of which the Apostle Paul said that God hath also highly exalted him. And given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, sir. To the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Brian, for the invitation. I'm blessed and thrilled at the prospect of being able to renew our fellowship these few days. To be able to meet Brother Potter for the first time and listen to him expound the Word of God. Thank you, Brother Jake, for feeding our souls tonight. And I trust that in these few days that we're together, that we'll be brought into the arena of worship, that we'll see him like we've never seen him before, and that we'll leave a different person. May the Lord bless you tonight. I invite your attention to the Gospel of Mark. I wrote this gospel. No, I didn't. I'm just kidding. I knew that would get your attention. The Gospel of Mark, if you have an old Schofield Bible like me, that's page 1050. Before I read the text, we'll be reading from verse 35 all the way down to chapter 5 and the first part of verse 1. But before I read the text, I do not believe anybody in here would disagree with me that this year has been a very difficult year. You and I have seen unprecedented problems like we've never seen before in our nation. And in our personal lives. I mean, we've seen a pandemic. Coronavirus, COVID-19. A lot of cases, people getting sick. And in some cases, people dying. As a result, largely because of that, we've seen the economy affected in such a way where people are losing their jobs. Losing their welfare. And as a result, there have been many in the United States even that have committed suicide. Sad. Sad. We've seen social unrest to a degree that we've never seen it before, unprecedented in our nation. So to the place to where if I allow myself to watch the news, I find myself distressed with what is going on in our nation. America is about to cast a vote this week, while I'm preaching Tuesday night, that will decide the course of this nation. And believe me, this vote is for the heart and soul of our country. We have felt a weight. We have seen a darkness. At least in my 65 years, that I do not believe I've ever seen before. But let me tell you what, that's the bad news. But as Paul Harvey used to say, and here's the rest of the story. You and I serve a God that's on the throne. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he changes not. And I want to remind you tonight, as he said in the book of Daniel, that he holdeth the heart of the king in his hand, and he turneth it whithersoever that he willeth. If you don't think he's in control, just wait till you get to heaven and ask Nebuchadnezzar. He is in control. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4, verse 35. Let me put my eyes on here. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And look at this first part of verse number 1 of chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. I'll preach tonight, don't worry. And all I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way. And I don't know if I can hit this high note, so I think I'll go low. And all I need for tomorrow, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And all I have to do is follow. Here, the verse that literally crawls off the page and hugs me about the neck and plants a kiss on my cheek is verse number 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. And notice what the Holy Spirit wrote here, asleep on a pillow. Here's my thought tonight. What scares you and I half to death puts Jesus to sleep. What scares you and I half to death puts him asleep. I love the way the Holy Ghost pays attention to words as he wrote this book. You know, Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20, he said, foxes have their holes and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I remember that. And yet on this stormy night, the Holy Ghost made sure that you and I knew that while others were scared half to death, Jesus was cutting Z's on a pillow. So here's what I want to preach tonight. In the midst of all this pandemic, in the midst of all the social distress, and in the midst of all the worry and the fear, I want to point out from this passage some pillows you and I can lay our head on in the midst of the storm. I want to say, first of all, from this passage tonight, you and I have the pillow of God's people. You see, they had sent the multitude away in verse 36. And who are they? They are the disciples. They were called by the Lord and commissioned by the Lord in chapter 3. And in chapter 4, Jesus gave his great dissertation on the parables. And after it was all said and done, the disciples sent the multitude away. And Jesus said, "Fellas, let's go to the other side." I just want to point out that while this storm was raging, while the wind was blowing, and while the waves were lapping over the side of the ship, I just want to point out, my friend, there's not a one of these disciples that was in this by themselves. I want to point out to you tonight that they had one another. I just want to stop and say I thank the Lord for the church tonight. And while the storms are blowing in our country and while the winds are blowing in our country, I'm glad I've got the church of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I'm glad I've got God's people. I'm glad I've got a pastor. I'm glad I've got a family. And I'm glad that I've got brothers and sisters in Christ tonight that'll pray with me and encourage me and come alongside me and help me through the storms of life. I thank God for that pillow to lay my head on. I'm here to tell you, there's been a many a time where the storm was blowing strong in my life, and I went to church and the pastor preached a message that comforted my heart and comforted my soul. There's been a many a time where I've been distressed and lonely, and a child of God would call me up on the phone and encourage me. There's been a many a time where I might have needed financial help, and some saint of God slip up beside me and slip a $20 bill in my pocket. I just got to say tonight, friend, I thank God for the pillow of His people. When in the midst of the storm and when the storm is blowing, you and I can lay our heads on that pillow and rest in Him. We can sleep in the sweetness and the security of the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about the pillow of God's people. After all, we share a common bond. We share a common bond. We're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may come from different countries, and we may come from different backgrounds, and we may have different characters and different likes and dislikes, but we share one common denominator, and that is one day we saw ourselves as a hell-deserving sinner, and we came to the Son of God, and He saved us and forgave us. His blood covered our sin. He wrote my name in the book of life. I thank God for that pillow that I can lay my head on. I tell you, as I've come here today with all that's going on in the world, as your pastor has preached and people have been saved and these young people have sang to us, I've laid my head on that pillow today and found rest and strength and comfort in the presence of the Lord. We not only share a common bond, we share a common boat. They were all in the same boat. You know, there were other little ships out there with them. But only Jesus was in one boat, and it's the boat that they were in. I just want to say that I thank God for the old ship of Zion. I thank God for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's been battered, and she's been worn, and she's been torn. But if I read my Bible right, that ship that left dock is going to pull up in heaven's shore one day. We're going to pull into the haven of rest. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We share a common bond. I want you to notice how many times in that text they use the plural personal pronouns, they and us. We share a common bond. Boy, we need to get there in the church tonight, don't we? We need to quit pointing fingers and looking around and making accusation and say, hey, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not me, it's us. Amen. It's not I, it's they and them. To God be the glory. We share a common bond. We share a common boat. We share a common battle. I mean, the storm was blowing. The waves were coming over the ship. It got so bad, Brother Jake, they thought they were going to die. They thought they were going to drown. We share common battles. I love what the scripture said of Elijah. It says that he was a man of like passions. And I want you to know today, Jake said it well tonight, just because these men are preachers, that does not mean they don't suffer the same temptations, the same weaknesses, the same trials that you share, dearly beloved. Elijah was a man of like passions, and we're all in the storm, and we're all in this battle, but I thank God we're not in it by ourselves. Because you see, we not only have the pillow of God's people, but we have the pillow of God's presence. I love that. You see, Jesus was in the boat with them. The Bible said in verse 36, it says they took him even as he was in the ship. The Bible says in verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship. I love that old song says, I traveled along a lonesome way. My burdens was heavy and dark was my way. I looked for a friend, not knowing that he had all of the time been looking for me. You see, these disciples finally got to the place where they didn't even think that he cared, my friend. And if you're honest, you've been there too. But the glorious truth tonight in the pillar you can lay your head on is no matter how dark it gets, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it is, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you always, even to the end of this world. Woo! To God be the glory on that. Amen. It may be like he's standing in the shadows sometime. We may only faintly be able to see him, but I want you to know tonight he's there. I'm talking about the pillow of his presence here in this text and all through Holy Writ. We have his promised presence. I'm sure you saw this, but when you read verse 35, he said, let us. I'm not sending you by yourself. I'm going with you. Promise after promise in the scripture. And one of the greatest is in Hebrews chapter 13. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He got in this journey with me on June the 8th, 1971. And when the smoke's all cleared, I'll be standing with him on the other side. To God be the glory. I love that. I love what the writer of Hebrews said, and I believe Paul wrote it. Some differ with that. They can be wrong if they want to. I love what Paul said. Said he's the author and he's the finisher. And isn't that what Jesus said about himself? I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. I got in this with you when you got on, and I'll be there all the way through with you, and I'll be there when you come out on the other side. We have his promised presence. But we not only have his promised presence, we have his permanent presence. I like that. You know, I used to play a lot of baseball. And in the athletic world, we have a saying. It says, if the heat gets too hot in the kitchen, get out. Let me tell you something. The heat never got too hot for Jesus. As a matter of fact, in the book of Daniel, they threw three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, and not long after they were in there, the fire was so hot that it consumed the men that threw them in. And along comes Jesus, one like unto the Son of God. He comes walking in there and says, pull a chair up, boys. Let's warm our hands by the fire. The heat never gets too hot in the kitchen for Jesus. The trial never gets too strong. The storm never blows too hard. You and I have His permanent presence. I'm so glad He's not going to lose me somewhere along the way or drop me off. I'm so glad there's nothing I'll ever do that'll cause Him to turn His back on me and walk away from me. I think you'll agree with me about this passage, where you'll see that from the time He got in the boat to the time they came to the other side, Jesus never left. He stayed in the boat with them. We have His promised presence. We have His permanent presence. But we have His prevalent presence. I love this. Oh, I love this. You see, when it got too rough, look what happened. The Bible says in verse 37 that there arose a great storm. In verse 38 it says He was in the ship. And look what it says. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? He was only a prayer away. He is so close they could reach out and touch Him. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says this, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. When I was a younger preacher, I used to think that was talking about the coming of the Lord, but that's not talking about the coming of the Lord. Paul wrote that as a prisoner on death row in Rome. And what Paul was saying is, I'm locked up, but the Word of God is not bound. And in my loneliest hours, when all men forsook me, nevertheless, the Lord stood by me. I'm here to tell you, take heart, oh child of God, tonight. Get you some rest and lay your head on that pillow tonight. He's only a prayer away. Reach out and touch Him. Take hold of Him. He's there. We have the pillow of God's people. We're not in this by ourselves. We may be struggling, and it may be hard, and it may be difficult. But look up and look around you and find great comfort, encouragement in other people who are going through the storm, but they're staying in the ship. We have the pillow of God's presence. He's with us, and He'll never leave us or forsake us. And I want to say we have the pillow of His power, the pillow of God's power. It's right here in the text. Why, look what He says here. It says, and He arose, verse 39, and rebuked the wind. Woo! And said unto the sea, and the wave says, that sounds like the voice of the Creator. We better lay down. Yeah. Then the wind was blowing, and the Creator stood and raised His hand, and the wind said, that looks like the same hand that formed the stars and formed the clouds. That looks like the same hand that made the universe. We better quiet down. This magnifies His power. I want you to know something tonight, friend. There's no power like His power. Romans chapter 13, talking about delegated power, says there's only one power, and it's God's power. It's the power of God. I believe in the annals of history and past, eternity past. He stood over the embattlements of eternity, and He spoke this world into existence. I almost find humor sometime in people saying that Jesus is up there building mansions for us. No. Long before He ever went back to heaven, He didn't say there's going to be. He said there are many mansions. He's not some glorified carpenter. He's God, very God. He is the creator of this universe. He spoke it into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Let the firmament be divided, and it was divided. I like what Dr. Phillips said about His power, the power of His Word. John Phillips said that when Jesus comes again to this earth, he's coming to the Mount of Olives. But there'll be a battle in Megiddo or Megiddo. And the Bible says that when that battle comes to a close, that the blood's going to run to the bridles of the horses. Dr. Phillips said in his commentary, he said he's not going to use a laser beam. He's not going to use a missile. He's going to use the same thing he used when he created this heaven and this earth. He's going to use the word of his mouth, and he's going to have two words, drop dead, and the blood will flow to the bridles of the horses. Let me just point out, first of all, he has power over the storm. Verse 39, he stood and he spoke to the storm, and the storm ceased. I cannot help but think of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, where it said, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common unto man. But God, who is faithful, and boy, I love that, who will also with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God has no intention of taking you and I over, under, or around the storm. He gets no glory out of that. God has every intention of taking you and I through the storm and giving us the grace that we need. Yes, I realize he can speak, peace be still. I realize he can blow the coronavirus away. I realize that and understand that. But far too often when it's that easy, we take it for granted. No, God uses storms to grow us and mature us. And in doing so, he wants to take us through the storm. And here's what I've learned over the years. When he does, he'll do one of two things by his power. He'll either lessen the intensity of the storm or he'll heighten our capacity. He'll lessen the intensity of the storm, enable you and I to go through it, or he'll heighten our capacity. He will mature us and grow us so when we come out on the other side, we'll say what these people said. What manner of man is this? Jesus gets the glory. It's all about Jesus and what Jesus can do. He had power over the storm. He had power over Satan. You go into chapter 5. And I stood there this year. I stood right there on that southeastern edge of Galilee. They found one graveyard in Gadara. I don't know if it's the one where this man was, but I sure like to think it was. I'll tell you what. Going to the Holy Land for me was a part-time worship experience and a part-time learning experience. I couldn't take my eyes off that mountain. It's just like Jesus said, that grave was up there in the mountains, that graveyard. And did you know that in Gadara there's more wild hogs populating that area than any other area in the land of promise? And these demons saw him coming and said, what? Have you come to torment us before our time? You know what these demons really believed? They know what their end is. The devil was not, the hell was not created for you and I. It was created for the devil and his angels. But if you die without Christ and you reject the Son of God, that's where you'll go after you die if you don't repent of your sins. But I'll tell you what they were scared of. They know that the day's coming when he's going to cast them into hell. And they were scared of that. Have you come to torment us before our time? And they asked permission to go someplace else. And the Lord sent them into the swine. And the swine ran into the sea. I got to tell you this. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The devil can't make you do anything. You make a choice to do what you do. But I want you to know he's put his Holy Spirit inside of you to enable you to overcome the world and overcome the flesh and overcome the devil tonight, as our dear brother just preached this evening. We have the pillow of God's people. We have the pillow of God's presence. We have the pillow of God's power. We have the pillow of God's promise. Verse 35, he made a promise to them. What was it? Let's go to the other side. Chapter 5 and verse 1, the promise was fulfilled, and they came to the other side. I'm glad to tell you, hold on, dear children. Just a few more days to labor, and we'll sit down beside the Savior. We're on a journey, but you can mark it down if you're in the good ship, Grace. You're going to the other side. You'll hear the sound of the trumpet. You'll hear the voice of the archangel. You'll see Jesus one day. But I'm here to tell you, he doesn't just take us to the other side in our journey to heaven. He takes us to the other side through our journeys of heaviness. As we go through the trials and tribulations of life, listen to what David said at the apex of his journey. He said, weeping endureth for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Glory be to God. Listen to what Job said when it was at its worst and his wife told him to curse God and die. He said, what you speak is one of the foolish women. Shall we not receive evil at the hand of the Lord as well as good? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then his friends piled on. And Job said this, he knoweth the way that I take. And when I'm tried, I shall be purified and I shall come forth as gold. I know my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I want to say, first of all, I love the way he conveys his promises. You know how God conveys his promises? Through his word. He speaks his promises. And friend, every time you open this book, God is speaking to you. And time and again, he's given you a promise. If you're worried about tithing, he's got a promise for you. Bring ye all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse and see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour out my blessings upon you. If you're worried tonight about what all's going on in this world, I want to remind you tonight of a promise he's given us. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I love the way he conveys his promises through his precious word. We can hear them as they're preached. We can read them as we study and read, meditate on the word of God. But I not only love the way he conveys his promises, I love the way he completes them. He never makes a promise he doesn't keep. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. There's never a time I crawl into a pulpit that I'm not keenly aware that without him I can do nothing. And I ask God every time I get in a pulpit, Lord, I need you. I can't do this without you. I can speak, but they don't just need to hear a sermon. They need to hear a message from God. They don't need to hear my voice. They need to hear your voice, Lord. Speak that your people might hear. Been kind of rough this year, hasn't it? I mean, social distancing. I like what Tony Evans said about that. He said, we don't need social distancing. He said, we need some physical distancing, but not social distancing. But social distancing, wearing masks. You know, I flew here last night, and every time I fly, you have to put on a mask when you walk in the airport. And I've done it so many times, I've gotten to where I forget that the mask is on my face. And many times I've come walking out of that airport and I still got that mask on my face like I'm happy about it. Like I'm comfortable with it. I go, what in the world? And I'll pull that thing off. I know when you find yourself going, it's time to take the mask off. No, I'll tell you, the economic situation. If you think this year was bad with COVID and all the restrictions we've seen physically, you wait till the financial tsunami hits, folk, and it's coming. It's coming. I'll tell you what, let me tell you who's greater than all of that. God is. God is. He doesn't want us to fear. Often in the scripture, he tells us to fear not. Matter of fact, when they were fearing here, he said, where's your faith? Where is your faith? You know what he wants us to do? He wants us to lay our head down on that pillow and rest. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God when we cease from our works and rest in His. I trust you're resting tonight. Father, bless your word tonight. Take it and speak to our hearts in a powerful way. Effect a change in every one of us. Let us leave here different than when we came. Thank you for what our hearts have experienced and our ears have heard tonight. This sweet church and the sweet fellowship of every one of these believers. Lord, as we look outside and as we press onward and press forward, there's a lot of chilling circumstances out there. Let us find great grace. Let us find great strength, and let us find great rest in you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, Brother.